Blog Talk Radio.
Father God, let your kingdom come. Sovereign Lord, let your will be done. I trust you more than anyone. Your faithfulness like the rising sun. Spirit, come, have your way. Without you, I am incomplete. When I find you, I find you. When I seek you with my whole heart, seek you with my whole heart. When I find you, oh, I find you. When I seek you with my whole heart.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's show. I am your host tonight. Terrence is out working. He said that he might call in if he has an opportunity, but I am your host, Tanisha, and today is March 1st, 2023, 7:08 p.m. Central Standard Time. Very excited to be here. Got my son here with me, our second youngest, Gregory. Say hi, Gregory.
Hello, everyone.
So he's just going to listen in. Tonight, I wanted to give him to try to pray for some people, but he said he's not ready for all that. So anyway, thanks for joining in PGN, where we are about what we talk about, where we know that the spirit of prophecy is flowing and God is here in the midst of us. Hopefully you all have been having a great week. We're already in the third month of this year. Like, think about that. This year has already, we're there. We're in the third month. And I'm excited about this year. This has been a year so far of exposure. And that's something that I believe we're going to see more and more of as the year goes by, not only in our personal lives, but just in life in general. Also, I don't know if you've been listening to Randy's shows, but he's really been focusing on the brain and the mind and the difference of spirit man, the Holy Spirit, our soul. If you haven't been listening, I highly recommend you go back, listen to the shows this week and tune in and hear what the Lord is saying, because it was funny. Terrence and I on Monday, we were talking about understanding. It was yesterday, Tuesday. We were talking about understanding, and we're talking about how, you know, so many people have knowledge, but they don't have understanding, and how they talking about how God's going to use understanding in these end times. But it is so important to get understanding, because it's not enough to know. You have to understand what you know. You know, you could see something, you could witness something, but if you don't understand what you're even seeing, you'll run with what you know. So the scriptures that the Lord gave me before I start answering calls, let me go here. Let's go to Ephesians 4. We're going to start with verse 26. And this is timely for what we need. God just gave this to me because I was actually somewhere else. But he just gave me this scripture. Be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior, yet do not sin. Do not let your anger cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. The thief who has become a believer must no longer steal, but instead he must work hard, making an honest living, producing that which is good with his own hands, so that he will have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please him by whom you were sealed and marked, branded as God's own for the day of redemption, the final deliverance from the consequences of sin. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, all spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. See, I was reading something else in Ephesians, and this is where God took me. So one thing that stands out to me, when we start in verse 26, right? Be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior, yet do not sin. Because something that I'm starting to see, a trend I'm noticing in the body of Christ is a lot of believers are becoming dead to sin. It doesn't anger them, right? God has given us emotions. And while a lot of the times emotions are misused, emotions have a purpose. Everything about us is purposed, right? You're looking at people. We have two eyes, one nose, one mouth, two ears for a reason. Like, everything is purpose. The way God has designed us is purpose. And emotion is purposed, because anger is designed to make us take action. So if we're not angry at something, we're just going to let it slide. We're going to let it slide because we don't feel no type of way about it. But we're to be angry at sin. And so the Amplified breaks down what is sin, right? At immorality, right? At injustice, at ungodly behavior. Yet do not sin. So don't allow your anger to get you into a place where you're sinning, right? And do not let your anger cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. See, a lot of times right now, what people are doing is they try to make you shameful for being angry at ungodly behavior. You know, let's look at right now what's going on in our community as far as like pronouns, like the way people want to be labeled or identified. And I saw some YouTuber or some dude that's really popular on social media made a post the other day that said there's two genders. And I mean, the town folk came out with their pitchforks and their fire on a stick and their banjos. Like they were just going off and calling him phobics and all this other kind of stuff. But the word of God says that God created male and female. So that's the only two genders that God created. Anything else is made up. So if it's made up, it's what? It's a lie. A lie is something that's not true. But yet people are trying to shame him for his beliefs. And the word of God tells us, don't be ashamed of that. Let's read it again. Be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior, yet do not sin. Do not let your anger cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. So we're not to hold on to the anger, right? But we're also not to be ashamed of it. If you're angry at ungodly behavior or immorality or at sin, don't let somebody shame you into because you're angry at the right things, right? Because if anger was something that we're never supposed to feel, then God wouldn't tell us to be angry at things, right? Just like there's things that God hates. And people try to say, oh, no, the saying is don't hate, right? Show love, spread love, this, any other. But they try to eliminate hate, but God hates things. And we're made in his image. So there are things that you should hate too. And there are things that should cause you to be angry. But God is directing us on what do we do with that anger, right? We don't allow that anger to cause us to sin because I've seen people be angry about things and get into arguments. Now they name calling, now they fist fighting because they're allowing their anger to get the best of them. We don't serve anger. We serve God. Every day we have to choose who we're going to serve and honestly what we're going to serve. So you don't serve your anger, right? Even though it's serving a purpose. And we don't allow others to make us feel ashamed of it, and we don't allow it to fester, right? Let's read that in, let's do a compare, because I read it to you out of the Amplified. Let's read it out of the NIV. The NIV says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, right? So we need to get over it, right? Our anger should cause us to take action. How do we take action? Do what you practically can do, what God is leading you to do. But most importantly, you need to be praying about it. Prayer is your biggest defense. That's your biggest weapon. That produces change. I know a lot of people are saying, prayer doesn't do anything. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. That's what the word of God says. So if you're not righteous, your prayers are not availing anything, right? Because it's the righteous prayers that availeth much. So there is some truth to that statement that some when people say, oh, prayer's not going to do nothing. For the unsaved heathens, their prayers aren't going to do nothing. But for those of us who are the righteousness of God, our prayers do produce. Our prayers do something. And so that's what we need to do. And we need not to be listening, taking advice or direction from a person who don't even have power in prayer. Prayer ain't even leaving the ceiling. So that let the anger make you take action. You're not sinning, right? You're not punching people out and doing things that will cause you to sin. No, you pray and you take it to the Lord. Take your anger to him and say, what do you want me to do with it? Because again, if anger didn't have a purpose, he wouldn't allow us to get angry. So let's read it again. Let's break it down and read it again before I start answering callers. Be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior, yet do not sin. Do not let your anger cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. This is good right here. This is something that we all have to work on, right? Because one thing anger is going to do that's unchecked, it's going to lead to grudges, right? It's going to lead to where you're nurturing anger. You know, it's to nurture something, so it's to take care of it, right? It's going to lead you to harbor resentment and it's going to lead you to cultivate bitterness. And when you find yourself in these positions, right, when you're holding a grudge, when you're nurturing anger, when you're harboring resentment, or you're cultivating bitterness, that's giving the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin. That's all that is. Because he's always looking for something. He's looking for a way in all the time. And so when we are doing these things, then we know that the devil is taking the opportunity. And he uses that. So we have to make sure that when we start feeling some sort of way or operating in those ways, we need to take it to the Lord. So again, let's go a little bit further. Verse 28, the thief who has become a believer must no longer steal, but instead he must work hard, making an honest living, producing that which is good with his own hands so that he will have something to share with those in need. Let's compare that. Let's go to the NIV and read that. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with those in need. So it's talking about now this person was a thief and now they're no longer a thief, right? Because they should stop stealing. They should stop stealing. Thief is a person who steals. If you are not stealing anymore, you're no longer a thief. But instead, now you work hard making an honest living and producing that which is good with your own hands so that you have something to share with those in need. He's showing you how to flip things, right? Because you're talking about sin, the verse before, and then talking about a thief who obviously that's a sin. But now the thief is a believer, so they no longer steal, right? They're turning things around. They're not doing what they were doing before. But now they're doing the opposite of it. Now instead of this person being a thief, now they're working with their own hands and producing good things and giving to people. It's really a contrast to show you just because you were a sinner doesn't mean that you have to stay a sinner. Just because you were doing wrong doesn't mean you have to keep doing wrong, because God will turn it around because he's using a thief. I don't know about you, but I don't like thieves. Thieves steal more than items, right? Thieves steal people's sense of peace. Thieves can steal people's well-being. I was watching a show on one of the streaming apps about this powerful man in on Wall Street who was doing a Ponzi scheme. So if you don't know what a Ponzi scheme is, it's basically people think that they're investing, but really the person, they're taking people's money, right, and saying, I'm going to invest your money, like an investment manager. I'm going to invest your money. And when you invest, depending on if the investment does good or bad, you get a return. So you either get a return if it does good or you suffer a loss, right? And so with a Ponzi scheme, you're giving this person your money to invest, but they're not investing it. They're keeping your money. And then they get more and more people to give them money, and then they might dish out a little money to keep you thinking, oh, I'm investing, you know, you get a little money, thinking you're getting a return on your investment, but really they're just collecting the money. And if they're ever busted or if they ever decide to just, you know, exit stage right, all your money's gone. It's not invested in anything. It's just sitting in their bank account or an offshore account. So I was watching this special on a streaming app about this man who built up a reputation on Wall Street. And he was operating a Ponzi scheme on an extremely large scale. I mean, I'm talking billions on top of billions of dollars. And come to find out, it was a Ponzi scheme. And so many people suffered loss when the SEC got wind and investigation happened and shut the whole thing down and arrested him and all these people's money. A lot of people lost their life savings. Because he stole from them. You're stealing from a person if you misrepresent what you're going to use their money for. I'm pretty sure these people wouldn't say, oh, yeah, take my money and scheme and scam. You know, they didn't say that. They thought that they were investing their money and they trusted him. But he stole from them. And so not only did he take their money, right, he took some of these people's whole livelihood. He took some of these people's ability to retire comfortably. You know, you get to a certain age, you know, as you age, you know, you start to get a little tired. Some of these people are well advanced in age, and now their life savings was gone. And so the fact that, that the word is using a thief, because a thief does more than just steal an item, right? If I break into your house and take your favorite cup, yeah, your favorite cup's gone, but now your peace is gone too, because now you're like, well, how did the thief even get in? Now, like now I've taken your peace. Now you're not comfortable in your own home. I've taken your comfort. Now you're afraid to sleep at night because there's another thief. I've taken your ability to rest. So thieves steal more than what they take. And so I don't. Everything that the Lord does is deliberate. He's using a thief as an illustration to show that this person can just stop, right? Stop stealing. Now, if you stop stealing, now you're not a thief. And then showing them that they're turning it around. Now you're working hard, making an honest living, producing that which is good from your own hands, so that you will have something to share with those in need, which is the whole opposite of a thief. Because a thief is taking. They don't care what you need. It taking. They're producing a need now. Because if you had $10,000 in the bank and you needed that, right? And the thief takes it, now you need $10,000, but they don't care. They're the ones that put you in the hole, where now this person, the illustrations the Lord is using, now this person is sharing to those in need. He's doing the opposite of what a thief does. So now you need $10,000, and this person who's no longer a thief because they're now a believer is giving you the $10,000. So God is showing right here the illustration of turning things around. Then goes deeper into it. Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. Right? Because so many people just be talking that we live in an era now of podcasts and, you know, YouTubes and all this kind of stuff, and people just be talking. Like, if I could get paid for how much I roll my eyes sometimes listening to people and what they have to say, I would be a billionaire by now. Because I just be like, man, people really be using their platform and be talking about nothing. Like, it's not a blessing. It's an irritant. And so we as believers, if we're going to be talking, we should be a blessing to people. And again, he's telling us what not to do: unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar, right? Because to be a blessing, sometimes people tend to categorize, you know, like if somebody says, hey, you know, I'm in this relationship, and they're describing it, and you say, that doesn't sound like it's a healthy relationship. Oh, you're being negative. Well, what I said wasn't unwholesome. It wasn't foul, profane, worthless, or vulgar, right? It's only such speech as good for building up others. So I'm trying to build you up. So don't get it confused that just because the word is instructing us on what type of speech, that just because a person won't like it doesn't mean that it's not a blessing and that it's not designed to build them up. They could take what they want. A person, you can give them a ladder, but you can't make them climb. So you could try to make them up, go upward. They at the bottom, and you could throw down the ladder, but you can't make them climb. So don't add to the scripture, because people tend to do that. Well, that's not with the word of God. You're supposed to be building me up. I am building you up. If I'm telling you, just because you don't want to hear it doesn't mean that it's not building you up. You just don't want to hear it. Just because you don't want to hear it doesn't mean it's unwholesome. Just because you don't want to hear it doesn't make it foul or profane or worthless or vulgar. It has value. You just don't see it. Because it'd be a blessing if you allow it to be, right? And let's go further. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please him by whom you were sealed and marked, branded as God's own for the day of redemption, the final deliverance from the consequences of sin. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, which is perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding, and slander, be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, which is all spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. All right? That's a mouthful, but that's what we need to do. And I'm going to give you another example of this, and then I'm going to start answering callers. Right? Be kind. Let's go to 32, right? 32 says, be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. So I saw on social media, so I told you guys, I'm on social media. I like to know what's going on in the world, and I pray for people. You ain't got to know me for me to pray. But I saw a video that had garnered a lot of views of a woman. She was in her car, and she was in a, it looked like she was in a church parking lot. Okay. I can't confirm that, but it looked like she was in a church parking lot, and she was upset. She said she went to church with jeans on, and she said that she had a lot of things that she needed to do that day, but she went to church with jeans on, and she wasn't treated very good, that people was giving her dirty looks and this kind of stuff, and she started crying. She's going on and on about how, thank God, she's got strong faith because church people, they're just so mean, and then they're just, if I treated people like that, I would just never go to church. Like, I mean, she just went on a whole pity party, and I'm reading the comments, right? People are, see, that's why I don't go to church, and church people will talk you right out of your faith and just get you all out of your faith, and the comments were just so negative towards, quote, unquote, the church, right? And I brought it to Terrence's attention. I said, I just watched this video. I prayed for the lady. Prayed for the people, a lot of people in the comments. But I said, what she did was not loving, right? You came on social media to vent about an experience you had because you wore denim to church and you felt people were not treating you right. You said they were looking at you crazy and all this kind of stuff. But because of your strong faith, you were able to overcome it. But my first thought was, did you take it to God first and foremost? Because what are we supposed to do? Okay, on social media, what was the end goal with this post of you crying on camera in your car about the mean church people who didn't like your Jordache jeans, right? So, what were you looking to gain is what I first wondered. Then I'm like, did you even talk to the people? Did you have a chit chat with them to say, hey, I know I got jeans on, but I feel like maybe I've offended you with my jeans. And the reason why I wore my jeans is because, you know, I had a lot of things to do and I just would not have had time to change out of my jeans. But I don't want you to be offended. Took a compassionate, instead of taking it personal, oh, how dare you give me a dirty look because of my jeans, and say, for you to give me a dirty look because of my jeans are really affecting your world. You're like, I don't even know if you're going to be able to sleep at night because of these Jordache jeans or Lee or Levi, whatever jeans, like my jeans are really affecting your life. Let me take a compassionate approach to come and you say, hey, I'm so sorry my jeans offended you. You know, this is why I'm wearing my jeans. And I saw your face crunch up like you drank a whole jar of pickle juice. And I want to apologize. I don't want to make you feel a type of way because of my jeans. And it gives the opportunity to have a conversation. They might say, oh, well, I didn't even know I was looking at you like that. Yeah, man, I seen you over there like, man, look, like your whole world has stopped because of my jeans. Like, I wasn't sure if your bank account froze when you saw them or what was going on with you. Because the joy of the Lord escaped you the minute you saw my jeans. And let's have a chat. So I'm like, did she even bother to talk to these people about it? Like, why are you getting offended? Offense is a choice. I'm not going to get offended if you're looking at me crazy. If I love you and I congregate with you, then let's have a talk about it, you know, because I don't want my jeans keeping you up at night. You know, you can't even sleep sound. You're drinking your chamomile tea and everything, but you're up thinking about my jeans. I don't want that for your life. You know, Jesus died on the cross so we could overcome everything, including your offense about my jeans. So let's get that, you know, out of the open. So I'm like, why she didn't talk to these people about what was going on? For all we know, she knew that the church that she attends, the congregation rather, because we're the church, right? The building ain't the church. The congregation that she attends has a dress code. So you chose to mosey on in there with jeans, knowing that that's not the standard dress code. And so when people took offense to that or looked at you like, well, you know better, now you're mad. Just like if you go to work and I've worked at a job where the dress code was business professional, right? Most jobs are business casual, business professional. I couldn't wear a high heel that had both a sling back and an open toe. You had to pick a scrub. And if you were caught wearing both, you were sent home. It was a very strict dress code, and I wasn't even making that much money there. If it wasn't a button-up shirt with a collar that was pressed and a pencil skirt or a dress or whatever, you know, like, you going home. So I couldn't say, well, I got things to do after work, so I'm just going to wear these jeans. No. So I'm like, you clearly knew that the congregation that you go to, they have a standard of a dress code. and you chose to ignore the standard for your own reasons, and I'm not saying the reason is good or bad, but you chose to do it, but then you're shocked, you're appalled, you're offended that people made a face. But instead of going to them in love, like the scripture says that we're supposed to do, be kind and helpful to one another. Because it's helpful to tell somebody, hey, the way you're responding to my jeans can be taken wrong. You know, and I want to help you. So the next time somebody comes in here, 501 Levi's, you're not putting off like you don't have, like how dare you be here. I want to help you because there's bigger issues, and somebody coming in jeans should not be something that we're making a big deal out of or whatever your stance is, right? Be kind and helpful to one another, tenderhearted and compassionate and understanding. So when you're tenderhearted, you're thinking about others instead of thinking about yourself. Because that would have been my mindset. Like, oh my gosh, my jeans really got them in a, you know, in a frenzy. I've shaken the hornet's nest single-handedly with my jeans. And I'm thinking about you versus me. Now, I make it funny because that's just the type of person I am. But that would be my approach. I'm not going to be all offended. Oh my gosh, some people, how dare them look at me crazy because of my jeans? I'm like, oh my gosh, some people, they're looking all crazy in my jeans. Let me have a talk with them. Let's get this. Do we need to pray, lay hands? We need to grab the elders. What do we need to do to deliver you from this spirit of hating jeans or whatever's going on? Because I don't want to cause you to stumble with my jeans. I'm going to think about you versus think about me. And I'm going to forgive you, forgiving one another readily and freely. You don't have to ask for my forgiveness for me to forgive you. I'm going to give it to you. There are some people I have to forgive every time I have an interaction with them because they're always looking on the war path. They don't want peace. And when people are operating in the spirit, they're operating in the flesh, and the flesh is against the spirit. When as believers, we're always seeking peace. We're always trying to do peaceful things. So a person who's opposite of that is always, you know, trying to start stuff. So you got to just forgive them. Say, you know what? You're on that other stuff. You're miserable, and I forgive you because you know not what you do. I actually feel bad for you because I can't imagine waking up and going to bed every day absolutely miserable. I can't imagine that feels good. So I'm going to forgive you, and I pity you because, man, that's got to suck to just be miserable all the time. So I forgive people who intentionally try to get on my nerves. How much more should I forgive my brother and sister in Christ? Just as God in Christ also forgave you. So that's the way I'm analyzing the video. I'm like, okay, crying on social media about how these people treated you because of jeans. For all we know, you might have just had a chip on your shoulder because you knew good and doggone well what the dress code is. And then people might not have even been thinking about you or your jeans. Then people might have been trying to figure out what they're going to eat for dinner. Everybody don't have the same thinking face. I know I have a very expressive face. So, you know, I've been accused of times of, why are you looking at me like that? First of all, I'm not looking at you. I was thinking about, what am I cooking for dinner, and trying to figure out, am I going to Kroger or Tom Thumb? I might have been looking in your direction, but I wasn't looking at you. But a person, if they didn't have a conversation with me to say, hey, why are you looking at me like that? They could have just jumped to 8 million conclusions. Oh, Tanisha, she hates me because she was giving me dirty looks and she was giving me dagger eyes. And I'm trying to figure out what grocery store I'm going to get a sandwich from. So for all we know, she could have been feeling self-conscious because she knew how many people felt about jeans and wore them anyway. And so now any look that looks off, she could have misread it, thinking that these people were against her. They didn't confront her and sit her down and say, hey, don't you dare come back here with those jeans on anymore. She never said that. She just said they was giving her dirty looks, but they might not have been giving her dirty looks. But I was like, I told Terrence, I said, this is a great learning opportunity. I said, because this woman got into her flesh, right? She got into her feelings while she's sitting there crying, got into her flesh and doing the devil work. Because instead of doing the loving thing to approach, right? You don't have to approach right then and there. You can approach later and say, hey, when I came to church last Sunday and I was wearing my jeans, the way you were looking at me made me feel really bad, and it made me feel very unwelcome. And I forgive you, but I just want to, you know, I just don't want you to do that to anybody else, because this is a place of love. We're here to sharpen each other. You know, I was out of order based on the rules of this particular congregation, but I just don't want you to do that to the next person, because everybody doesn't have the same level of strength in their faith. And that could be that alone could cause a person to never step foot in any church ever again. And that's just not what we want to do as a body of Christ. Well, I get it. You're human. I'm human too. But let's do better. Let's do better. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was an opportunity to have a chit chat instead of going on social media blasting. And now you have a person who could have been on the fence to say, you know what? I'm going to watch a church service tomorrow. I'm going to go to church tomorrow. And now you reinforce why they shouldn't go, because you in your flesh boo-hoo crying on social media about the meanies who was looking at your jeans crazy. But talking about how strong you are in your faith, because if I wasn't so strong in my faith, ma'am, I'm going to need you to get to Ephesians, because if you're strong in your faith, you know to be kind and helpful to one another. That wasn't kind nor helpful. There's nothing in the word that says that you do unto others as you want done unto you. It doesn't say you do unto others as others done unto you. It's what you would want. If you mad about them people looking at your jeans crazy, I know you'd be mad if they recorded you and blasted you on social media. You blasted these people on social media and you didn't even give them an opportunity to give their side of the story. This is why it's so important for us to get into our word, because these are things that we deal with every day, right? And we always have to apply the word to everything, to stop and check yourself. I've been in this position before with a church. Terrence and I at one point were on a leadership team at a church. And we were not treated very kindly by some of the people. And then when my mother died, there was promises made that were not fulfilled. That honestly, I was already in a vulnerable position. I was already hurt. And I could have easily got offended. But I didn't. I chose to take it to the Lord. We still did what we were supposed to do, right? Terrence was in the parking lot ministry. I was working with the kids. There was just a lot of unkind behavior. A lot of unkind behavior. And after some time had passed, I spoke to the pastor about it, and I told him some of the things that were not that I didn't like, that I felt were not, they weren't cool. And he got offended. Well, Stephen, you're coming from a place of anger. I was very calm when I talked to him, very professional, and I'm like, I'm not angry. I said, this is coming from a place of concern, because I know if it made me, I'm seasoned in my walk. Right. I know that I possess wisdom. I know that I've overcome the whole being easily offended and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like, you ain't gonna treat me any type of way. Like, I'm past that. And it still made me feel some sort of way to where I had to check myself immediately. Like, Tanisha, we ain't doing that. They're a person. They're growing. They're learning. We're not doing that, but we're going to address it. Because if it made me feel some sort of way, I can't imagine somebody just weak. Just a whole, you know, bowl of Jello in their face, and that happens, that's not going to be good. And so that's, I told him, I'm bringing it to you as a way to teach and to learn. You're a leader. Bring it to your people's attention. And even he agreed that the behaviors were not okay. But yet what he was offended that I brought it to him, even though I didn't bring it in a harsh manner. I didn't bring it in a mean manner. I didn't even bring it from a place of anger. I brought it from a place of love and concern to say, hey, you need to be made aware of this, and this is something that needs to be addressed. And that even with this particular ministry that works benevolence and all that kind of stuff, people are in a vulnerable state when they're grieving. So we need to be more mindful of that. When it's more mindful, right? We always should be mindful of people because we love people, but more mindful when they're in a very vulnerable state, when they're grieving and they're suffering loss and all these things are being thrown at them, you know, the things that they're not used to, you know. I'd not experienced some of the things that I experienced, you know, having to deal with the coroner's office and the bodies being sent, where they body going, like, it was just a lot. So you're already vulnerable, you're hurt, you're reeling, you're trying to make sense of things, and then there's all these decisions that have to be made that you've not made before. So I'm like, we have to be mindful of that. But that's the way I treated it, with compassion, instead of taking offense, instead of taking a stand of how dare you treat me like that. I didn't take it like that. I took it as, you know what, I'll take one for the team. I'm glad it was me and not somebody that was weak in their faith. I'd rather it be me. I'll take it so that I could take it, process it, and report back and say, hey, these are some things that need to change. So this person, though, instead chose to go the route of let me let my flesh lead me and get people to feel sorry for me and build me up, instead of taking it to the people or the pastor, you know, instead of following chain of command. And now you turn around and do the devil's work. This is why it's so important for us to follow the word of God. Be kind and compassionate. Be kind and helpful to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Because a lot of the times people take a stance, well, I'm not doing that because that person treats me bad or they just that and the other all the time. But when you don't do what the Word of God says, now you're doing the opposite. So that lady, this was an opportunity to apply the scripture, but she did the opposite. So instead of doing what the Word of God says, she was spreading the devil message. Because I can't tell you how many people in them comments like, this is exactly why I don't go to church and this and the other. And I made a comment, and I don't always comment, but I made a comment about the church not being a building, but the church being the individual, and that where there's mankind, there's going to be flaws. And it's our job to love and help one another. Nobody commented to me. Normally people, you know, they'll comment on other people's comments, but nobody touched that comment with a 10-foot pole. So again, let's apply the Word of God to our life. Because a lot of times we're going in the tailspin and we're doing more damage than good because we don't even know what to apply. We don't know what because we're not reading our Word. Get into your Word. And don't just read it, do it. Let's do a collective prayer and then start answering callers. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for another night and another opportunity to come before you and be used of you, Father God. We love and we honor you and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Father God. Give us what we need, Lord. Edify us as a body. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us to walk in love and compassion, to help us to remove any bitterness. If there be any bitterness, any resentfulness, if we're nurturing any ill feelings or harboring any ill feelings about a person, a circumstance, a situation, Lord, help us to resolve that and to remove that. Help us to walk in peace and to trust you. Even when we don't know what's going on, to just trust you, Father God, because you're not like man that you should lie. And we know that your word is true, and we know that your word brings victory in every area of our life. So help us to kill that pride in us and kill that ego in us that's stopping us sometimes from doing what your word tells us to do. And help us to just freely do it. To freely do it. Let it all be done in Jesus' name. Help me to decrease, Father God, as you increase and speak to your people and give them what they need in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Let me get my notepad. That was a good message. I thought the Lord was going to have me talking about the mind, and he just went somewhere completely different. And this applies even to me, right? Like when I be preaching or teaching, I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself too. Again, like Terrence and I, when we do our shows, we don't prepare in advance on what we're going to talk about. We just let the Lord lead, and we go from there. Start answering callers. 251-342, who am I speaking with?
Hey, Tanisha, this is Latrice from Alabama.
Hey, Latrice, I haven't talked to you in a while. How you been?
I've been hanging tough. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm glad that you called in tonight. I thought about you. I played Won't He Do It, I think a couple of Schmidt last week or the week before, but it was sometime soon. And I was like, where is Latrice? Because every time I hear that song, whether I play it on the show or even when I, you know, if I play it,
it's about,
I always think about you when I hear that song.
So glad.
Well, let's
have another one I have to send to you.
Okay. Yeah, because every time I hear that song, but I just thought about you. I was like, I haven't talked to Latrice in a while. So I'm glad that you called in tonight. Let's hear what
thank
the Lord
you,
has
man.
To say to you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for Latrice, Father God. Thank you for the season of rest. It's like, Latrice, I see you being like a, I see you like fighting a war, a battle, like how soldiers, they'll fight. And you can have the most skilled, trained soldier. They could be in the most, you know, pristine shape. They can have the best armor, but fighting, it wears at you. Right? Anybody's going to get tired from fighting, even when they're winning. That just comes along with fighting a battle. And I'm talking about like in the natural sense, because the Lord's going to contrast the natural with the spiritual. But if we think about a soldier fighting in the natural, it's physical, right? You're doing things, you're blocking, you're extending your arm, you're running, you're hiding, you're ducking. You're thinking, right? Because thinking tires you out. Anybody who's ever worked an office job knows that you can be sitting at a desk all day and be wiped clean, exhausted by the time you leave the office. and you have just literally been sitting in a chair. It could be cushioned out. It can have one of those massage things on it. But all that thinking that you've been doing all day wears you out. So a soldier has to even think and strategize, take orders, know how to read maps. Like, there's just so much that comes along with fighting, and it wears at you. Again, even if you're winning, it wears at you. And so when you study, like, soldiers and how they do the formations of fighting, there's a period where some soldiers that have been in the forefront, they rest, and then they send the second, you know, wave to fight. The mm-hmm. soldiers can't keep going. They have to have periods of rest and refresh so that they can continue to fight, because it's different when you're fighting tired than when you're fighting well-rested. Like, even if we drive, just driving a car, we can drive a car alert and well-rested, and it's different than when you're driving tired. You drive tired now, your reflexes are off, you're seeing things that ain't there or not seeing things that are there. Like, it's just a whole different experience, because tiredness affects everything. And I see you resting, that you've been fighting. Sometimes you've been fighting and didn't even know you were fighting, but you've literally just been in a fight. Fight, where you're like, oh, I'm done with this one. Oh, let me sit. No, another fight. Oh, that's done. Now something. Fight. So it's like, you're like, man, like, when can I sit down? When can I get some rest? Because you think one thing is done, and now here goes something else. And sometimes it's not even the fight for yourself. Sometimes it's other people. You know, you done fighting something on your own. You know, other people are bringing things for you to fight. And so it's like you're feeling like you're in a constant state of fight. But I see you going into a season of rest and refresh. Rest and refresh. Like, you finally can kick your feet up, you know. And sometimes when you enter that season of rest, you kind of can't, because you're like, when's the next thing going to happen? When's the other shoe going to drop? It's almost like because you've been fighting for so long, you can't even relate now to just resting, because you're waiting. Like, instead of resting and being comfortable, you're waiting. Like, when's the next fight? It's kind of like people who work office jobs and they're always bolted to their computer, and they go on vacation and they can't rest because they're constantly checking their emails, checking. Is there something? Is there a fire? Is there an emergency? Something I got to address? And it's like, just shut it off and rest. Don't even take it with you. Like, just for real, rest. And that's what I see you. I see initially you're going to be like, you know, kind of on edge a little, you know, like waiting. Like, okay, what's going to pop up? But you're going to get to the point where you're like, okay, no, I'm resting and I'm refreshing. And some opportunities are going to come up during the time of rest and refreshing. You just say no. That's it. It's not personal to the opportunity. It doesn't mean it's a bad opportunity. But it's just a time for you to rest and refresh. And some people might not understand that. You know, imagine if you're resting and refreshing and God's saying, hey, I don't want you to use your voice for 30 days. And somebody says, hey, Latrice, I want you to come speak at our retreat, right? And it's a great retreat. It's a great opportunity to get in front of some people and to really impact some people. But God has already told you, I don't want you to use your voice for 30 days, so just rest. And so the person might take it personal, like, hey, you know, there's going to be a million women here, and the anointing that's on you, I want them to experience it. And it's not personal to them. It's like, no, it's not anything about your retreat. It's not bad. The women that are coming, it's not them. It's just, I need to rest. This is just my season. It's time for me to rest. If that opportunity comes around after I'm refreshed, you know, with the Lord's blessing, I'll be more than happy to do it. But that ain't what I'm doing right now. So just be prepared for that. Opportunities will come up for you to do something that's not a bad thing per se, but getting in the way of you resting and refreshing. And you're just going to have to say no and leave it at that. No, I'm in a season of rest and refresh right now. Sorry. Try again. You know, try again in 6 months. But right now, that's not what I'm doing, because I'm not going to give you the best of me. I'm going to give you a little piece of Latrice. But I need to be poured into. I don't want to give you 10%, Latrice. I'd rather give you 100%. But let the Lord pour into me. Let God use other people to pour into me. Let me be refreshed. So then I'm the best that I can be. Because a little piece of me, nah, that ain't gonna work. Because when Jesus did it, He paid it all. He didn't pay a piece and some and a smidge. and a portion, he paid it all. And so when we give, we want to give our all. It's like even when we love God, the word doesn't say love God with some of your heart and some of your mind, all. So we got to be the same way. We got to be all or nothing. If I can't give it my all, then I ain't going to give it nothing. And so that's the approach. I can't give you my all at this season in my life. I'm resting and refreshing, so I'm giving you nothing. But when I'm in a position where I can give you all, then, you know, I'll seek you or you'll seek me or God will make you, he'll set up a divine appointment. So just be prepared for that. So, Lord, we just thank you for Latrice, Father God. We thank you for the rest and the refresh, Father God. Pour into her. Pour into her, Father God. Send people that will pour into her, that won't take from her. And it's not that the people taking are they're not bad people. They see the anointing. They see the strength. They see the courage. And so they are lacking and they want that and they want to be built up and they want to be strengthened, but send people to fortify her, Father God, to fortify her and build her and to speak into her life and to speak, building us to build and repair, her. So we just thank you for those people, Father God. We thank you for you personally speaking into her, refreshing, giving her understanding, unlocking mysteries, making things that seem so complicated very simple to her, so that when she's put back out there, the revelation is new. It's new wine that she's serving to people who are very thirsty. People are thirsting. And it's not that she's help her to not look at it like, oh, I'm neglecting the thirsty people. No, I'm getting the best for them. I'm getting the best wine. I'm getting a new wine to quench them. So we thank you for it. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I do thank you, Tanisha. Tell Terrence I send my love, and I'll talk to you guys later.
I will. All right. Thanks for calling in.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was a good word. Next caller, 251-229. Who am I speaking with?
Yeah, this is Sarah from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm glad you called in. Let's hear what the Lord has to say about you tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Sarah, Father God. We thank you for making the crooked paths straight. For really solidifying her. It's like I see sometimes things feel very, they feel unstable. And it's not anything that you're doing. Sometimes things just feel unstable. I remember for myself after my mom passed, things felt unstable. And I think it's just the nature of having a parent pass, but God really used that time of my life to like literally solidify this doing the shows. He used it like to really make me have more of a passion to spiritually mother people, so to speak, because I know how it feels to in the natural not have my natural mother. So he solidified things like it's a very unique feeling. And I tell people this all the time, especially when I hear a person has lost their mother. I don't know how it feels to lose a father because my father is still living, but I know that what it feels like to lose your mother. It's a very unique feeling, compared to other, people passing, and it makes you feel very unstable because no matter what age you are, because my mom passed, I was 30. How old was I? Wasn't even 40 yet. I'm 43 now, but I was not 40 yet. So I was grown and still felt like, you know, oh my gosh, my mom's gone. Like my mom, she helps guide me. You know, she gives me recipes. She's my friend. She did that, like, and just felt very unstable. But God took all those emotions, all those feelings that I had, all that instability that I felt, and he turned it into something stable. To say, Tanisha, some people feel like that in the spirit. They feel like that all the time, and no guidance, no directions, no nothing. You know, people, some people really need to be mothered in the spirit, and so take how you're feeling right now in the natural and use it to motivate you to give people what they need as like a spiritual mom to people. And that really, it helped me like big time because I know how it felt in the natural. So I'm like, I can't imagine how that feels in the spiritual, just lost, you know? And so I see God taking areas of your life that feel very soft and unstable and solidifying them, making them solid. Because that's what he did. He took something that felt very unstable for me and made it solid. These are polar opposites. Something unstable, like you can fall through it, right? If you ever watch home shows and a house has two stories and they say, oh, that second story is unstable, like they don't even want people walking around because they can literally fall through the floor. But if it's solid, that's completely different. Now something that was dangerous is something that you can enjoy, right? Because if you have a second story of a house, you want to enjoy your house. You don't want to be tiptoeing and worry about falling through the floor and crashing into whatever's at the bottom and injuring yourself, injuring others. Now your house is dead. It could just cause so much damage. Instability can cause a lot of damage if it's left unchecked. But to be solid, that's the complete opposite. And so that's what I see. So Lord, we just thank you for Sarah. We thank you, Lord, for making the unstable things solid and taking the things that feel very unstable and using it to motivate her and to get her, to move her where she needs to be, because you use everything. Sometimes we just want to get rid of whatever's making us feel unstable. We're not trying to use it. We just don't want it no more. But you show her, Father God, that you're going to take it and use it to get her where she needs to be, to where she'll look in hindsight and say, oh my gosh, I would have never guessed that that was what was going to get me to where I wanted to be, that was going to get me here. Because sometimes we'll pray for something, pray, and then God will send the vehicle for it, and we're like, that don't look like, we don't see it, we don't recognize it. We're like, whoa, somebody come tow this thing away. What's this piece of junk doing here? You know, but really it's the vehicle that God wants to use to get us to the destination that we've been praying for. But we can't recognize it. We're just trying to get it towed away. Where God's like, no, get in, strap yourself in and buckle up for the ride, because I'm going to get you there. And I'm going to use it, transform and change the way you even look at it. So instead of seeing it as some hunk of junk, now it's a chariot that's getting you where you need to be. Like, that's how God uses everything. He uses the things of even that a source of pain for us or what starts off as confusion, and will use that to get us where we need to be. So, Lord, we thank you for the stability, Father God. We thank you for solidifying things for Sarah. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I have to tell you something. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I know you haven't been to my house, but it actually is two-story, and and I just feel like you know, since my mom has, you know, passed away back in 21, it just feels different. You know, I'm trying to grasp things, but it's like the Lord is filling in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of having her around, because we were so tight, and she was like my best friend, just everything, you know. Mm-hmm. But in the Word, it says he'll be a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless.
Yes.
And he's doing that exactly what you prophesied. He gave you the words to say. So, amen. I tell you, that really brightened my day. That really brightened my night, actually. It's just like he's there, you know, he's there filling mm-hmm. in. My father, he's passed away. He's already, you know, he passed away before my mom. So he's like a mother and a father to me.
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, and he's solidifying it, because I'm like, I know you're there. So I'm mm-hmm. thankful. prophet is Tanisha. I thank the Lord for you and the words he gave you to say.
Amen. I'm just grateful to God because I know how that is. My mom was a close friend of mine too, and it was very unexpected. So I still remember like that first night, it did not feel real. And wondering, like, will things ever feel normal? It felt so abnormal. Like, everything felt abnormal, even coming home because her apartment was, she was in the same little quad as me, but catacorner downstairs. So I normally come home, you know, I call her like, hey, I'm about to come home. She pop her head out. Like, everything just felt different. And it felt very unstable. But God really used it, and He's going to use it. That's the beauty of God. Like when he says all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, that's the truth. All things, our pain, our uncertainty, our loneliness, like it don't matter what it is, all things work together for our good, all things. And you'll be surprised at what he'll use.
Okay.
With me too, one of the things he used was a cat. My mom hated cats, just putting that out there. But literally our cat, Melody, God really used her. Like, I would have never guessed having a cat would have been helpful because, especially considering my mom hated cats. But God used even a cat to help me. She would jump on me and purr on me when I was having a down day. You know, it would just be me because I was working from home. Terrence at that time was a barber, so he'd be gone. And I don't want to bother him and say, hey, I'm having a rough day, even though he wouldn't have minded. But it's like she would know. She'd jump on my lap and purr. But I was surprised. And I'm like, I know God used her to help me in my grieving. So you'll be surprised at what God will use, but he knows what you need. And so you just trust that. He's going to use whatever is necessary for you because, well, I'll tell everybody, hey, go run out and get a cat. No. But I wasn't even trying to run out and get a cat. Even the way the cat came about wasn't in a, you know, I wasn't trying to get her. You know, I took my daughter. We went to Petco to look at the cat because she wanted to look at the cat. So I'm like, oh, let's look at the cat. And then she goes, I want to get this cat. So I'm like, oh, let's call Daddy and see if he's going to, you know, if he's okay with that. Because I honestly didn't want to be the bad guy. I knew Terrence was going to say no. You know, I call him up, hand her my phone. I'm preparing to soothe her because I already know he's going to say no. And I hear her say, Daddy, can we get a cat? And I'm just bracing myself. And then I hear, yay! And I'm confused. What? Yay! That phone. I said, did you tell this girl she can get a cat? He said, yeah, go ahead, she can get a cat. I'm like, what? So now I'm like, okay. So I'm telling the lady, like, yeah, I would adopt this cat, you know, and I didn't have nothing for a cat. Wasn't prepared to have no cat. I didn't go out with the mission to get a cat that day. We were going to get clothes and shoes and saw kitties. The kitties are available at Petco. So she's like, I want to look at them. So it was completely unexpected. Ended up leaving with a cat, a litter box, food, all, like, I mean, went in there, spent all this money, but God used her. God used our cat to help me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wasn't even trying to do that. God is just going to, it's funny, you just, the steps be ordered and you don't even know what the step is. You know, I didn't know that was what was going to happen that day, but it was very helpful. So just be prepared that it could be something that completely not even what you're expecting, that God's going to use to help make things feel solid for you again.
Well, thank you. I'm thankful to the Lord for you. And it makes me want to get out. I don't like cats. I had a cat named Mark. And everywhere I went, he would just be there. I mean, I love Archie, you know. I may just go.
They might be trying to go hit up the adoption centers and all that because they be having those cats. And, you know, that might be why the Lord had me to bring up the cat because I'm telling you, that cat made a huge difference in my life. And I would have never guessed that because, I mean, I didn't dislike cats. I owned a cat before, but I wouldn't have thought that that would be helpful for that period of my life, especially considering the fact that my mom despised cats. So, but yeah, she's been a blessing. And when Terrence and I do the show, she always comes in here, no matter where she's at. She always comes in here. When Terrence, we have conversations every day, and he starts preaching sometimes, and she starts meowing and stuff. I said, that's the amen corner right there, because I swear she'd be saying amen when Terrence gets to preaching. So, yeah, she's just been a blessing to our family. So, yeah, it might be time for you to, you know, get a little cat companion.
Yeah, because when Archie was living, my mom, she loved cats. And
wow.
He would wait for her, and it was like he was talking to her, hey, and every day he would hey. Oh, it was too cute. It was too cute. Yeah, I may need to do something, you know, and just to remind me, you know.
Yeah.
And it's good therapy. You know, cats are animals in general, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, studies even prove that they boost mood, they prolong life. I mean, animals are just such a blessing, you know, having a pet, especially a good pet. You know, I've heard cat horror stories, especially orange cats, but ours isn't an orange cat. She's a medium hair, black and white cat, but, anytime people even meet her, she's so sweet. She's so friendly. The only thing she does that's really like, she doesn't get the zoomies or anything like that. She loves to antagonize our dogs next door. Like, that's her, you know, pastime. She likes to go outside, and kind of sit, let them smell her. They'll be barking, going crazy, and she'll just, you know, quietly lick her fur, like, whatever. But we know she's doing it on purpose. And I'm telling, like, you like antagonizing those dogs for whatever reason, but she's a sweet cat.
Yeah, well, you know what, I thank the Lord for you and the ministry as well, because I mean, you know, I haven't laughed like that in a long time, because I really, you know, my sister was telling me, I was making an arrangement and everything like that. She was like, don't get too carried away, you know, I know you miss mom, but you know, she just doesn't know how close to her, you know, so
right,
anyway, yeah. So I'm thankful.
I totally get that too. My sister and I are close, but you know, we both had different relationships with our mom, even though she talked to her every day. But my mom, we were on just on a whole different level. Like, my mom would text me. That lady was so funny. She would text me while I was at work, and I'd just be at my desk cracking up, because that was a funny lady. And there was a side of her that I knew that my sister didn't know about my mom. So it was a different experience. So sometimes even when you have a sibling, they can't even relate to the pain that you're feeling, because it's a different type of bond. You know, a parent doesn't have the same bond with each child. So sometimes the person that you think should understand the most doesn't, you know, so that kind of adds to it. But, you know, God's working it all out. You know, he knows what you need. And oh, Terrence said he's on. I don't know where he's at. I think this is him at the bottom. But yeah, he works it all out, gives us what we need. And yeah, I'll say, look into them cats. Let me it'd be cool. You call back and say, got me a new fur, baby. That
was... I think that'll be great for me, you know. Because mm-hmm. Archie, you know, he would come in the room, find out where I am, come in the room and get, you know, just do anything. He would. I think I have to get one. I know I do, because it's just good therapy. A dog. Now my daughter, she's into dogs, so she's like, Mom, I want to get a dog. We can't. And so we had the difference at one point, and so we didn't get anything, because I was like, no, we got to have a cat. She's like, no, we got to do. And I was like, okay. So
dogs are a lot of work. Terrence and I looked at a dog over the weekend. And we were like, yeah, no. No. Because dogs, they're a lot of work. I love dogs. I was raised with dogs. And my parents, even at one point, bred Lhasa Apso dogs. So I've been around dogs my entire life and helped when they would birth them, clean the babies and groom them and go with my mom to get their shots and all that. So I've always been around dogs and love them, but they're a lot of work. One thing about cats, you know, of course, our cat, because she's a medium hair, gets fur everywhere. So we got to do a lot of vacuuming and dusting and got to brush her and stuff and get the under comb and all that every day. So there's work, but it's not the same as a dog at all.
I know. My sister had, she's had several dogs, and she was like, don't bring the cat around, please. She just couldn't stand the cat. And so we were just on opposite terms. But anyway, my sister, she's 7 years older than I am. So it's kind of like, okay, well, you do your thing. And I almost stepped on her dog, which was like a Pekingese. And that would have been war. That would have been war for her. So.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that wouldn't have been good. Terrence said he's got something for you. Let me figure out. I think he's using his Google number. I'm going to unmute him so he can give you what he's got for you, too.
Okay.
I think this is him. This is the only local number. Let me unmute it. Terrence, is that you?
You don't know my Google number?
I don't. I'm sorry. Like, if I was to put it in my phone, that probably would pop up. But looking at it, no, I didn't recognize it.
I am putting you on blast before all the believers. Oh, my
God. See, if I would just put your area code.
Before all the believers tonight, you don't know my Google number. I'm hurting.
Now I know it. Look, you know what I should have did? I should have just put it in like I was dialing it in my phone because then it pops up here in Google. So,
right.
But you don't really use it. Like, you don't use it to call me. So, yeah.
And see, that's one of the things about technology. Even though it's there to help you, you still have to remember what to do to initiate what to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So think about this. Think about this. So how good is technology?
So as good as we make it.
Come on. So technology will never take the place of man.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing will never take the place of how God made it to be.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Amen.
I don't know what that had anything to do with y'all conversation. I was just calling. I told my wife, I said, look, I'm out, but I'm going to call in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know who you got on.
It's Sarah.
Sarah, what's up, Sarah? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm good. But I do have something. When you and Tanisha talk, I came in on the part when you were talking about when Tanisha was talking about Melody. I don't know if she told you her name. Did you mention her name, babe? I don't know.
Yeah, I said Melody.
So Melody, even in the name, right? Because I like music. Tanisha loves music, right? But I'm the singer. She's like Tanisha can like hit notes like dead on. Like every time she has perfect pitch, but you know, that's one of her gifts. I ain't gonna go any deeper. But when I was hearing her talk about the cat and Melody, like it's in the name. It's like I sense like right now you need like some comfort, you know, like people have been pulling on you for you've been extending yourself in areas for an extensive amount of time. And just like anything, you know, you get to the point to where you can't stretch anymore. And when, once you get to that point to where you can't stress anymore, you gotta relax, you know. And I see like you at a point to where it's really time to relax, and God really wants to comfort you, you know, because he's a comforter. And so as far as his comforting, it's all going to be based on your thoughts. What you think about, and the things that when you think about, that bring you joy, and those things that bring you joy when you think about them, like God is going to supply those particular things. Like, he's going to make provision for you to have. Like you're in the season of having now. You know, like I'm going to experience this. It's no longer just a thought or an idea, but it's an actual physical reality. I'm going to get to experience it not only in the spirit, but I'm going to experience it in the physical as well. And it's like a reward season, you know, like when you look at college basketball. I don't know if you're a fan of college basketball or sports period. You know, they go through a season where they compete, you know, and towards the end, you know, you're going to the playoffs, and you go to the playoffs, and then you go to the championship. Like, you made the playoffs last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not last year, but the year before you made the playoffs. And last year was the finals, right? And mm-hmm. So that's equivalent to like the NBA Finals, Super Bowl. That was your Super Bowl. Last year was your Super Bowl. And what you did, you stuck to your game plan. And that's what teams do. Each team comes out and they present their game plan to the opponent. And whoever game plan is the best normally is the one that wins. On a realistic level, you know, we ain't finna get into all that betting and that manipulating and all that, but how it's designed, because everything that God designed, he designed it for good. You know, man gets in it and they get corrupted by the enemy, and then they corrupt whatever they put their hands to, you know. And so, but last year was your Super Bowl, but you won. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you knew you won. I don't know if you knew that. But anytime you walk in with Christ,
yeah,
you never lose.
No,
you never lose. Never is a word, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. And it has a definition which gives it meaning. And the meaning gives it its substance. And the substance gives it its authority.
Yeah.
And so when you never lose, meaning you never lose. So losing is not part of your anatomy. Losing is not part of your makeup when you are a born-again believer.
Amen.
I don't care how much the enemy tries to torment your mind. I don't care how much the enemy tries to agitate your thoughts. You know, you get in your mind and you control your thoughts with the word of God.
Period. That's it.
Because as the enemy is speaking, God is speaking as well. Right? And so the enemy is going to be speaking even more loudly coming up because he knows you're the victor. He's going to say you cheated, man, you know, it was wrong, blah, blah, blah. He's going to try to make you feel, you know, like you don't deserve what you have. But everything that you have, it's an inheritance because of the blood. And so through the blood, you don't have to have any guilt. You don't have to feel any shame. this is my inheritance. You know what I'm saying? Like I can't control my inheritance. Somebody before me had me in mind. Mm-hmm. And so they secured my future. And so that's what God did when he sent Christ to the earth. He secured our future. That's why he said he's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. And so that's what he wants you to know, that you can move through your life here in the flesh smooth. You ain't got to worry about nothing. It's reward season. They got the parade set up for you. You are a champion. A champion. You won. Jesus didn't lose on Calvary. He won.
It's paid in full.
I don't care what the naysayers say. You know what I'm saying? You mad because you lost. And you trying to figure out a way to support that. You trying to figure out a way to minimize the victory.
Mm-hmm.
No, we won fair and square. And so you never lose with Christ. You never lose with Christ. And so that's what you're walking in this season. You're walking in that this year throughout the rest of your life, the duration of your earthly life. You're walking in victory, like God really wants you to know that you are a victor through Him.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't nothing that, like, you don't have to feel bad about things anymore. Be bold in your speech. Be bold in your speech. You ain't gotta feel bad because it ain't you. It's the Lord using you. You don't have to apologize for what he's using you to do at all. You ain't got to be apologetic. I don't know if I said it right. Hold on. Did I say it right, babe? But we don't have to apologize for following the Lord.
No,
there is no room for that. You got to take it up with him. You could be mad at me all day. I don't care. You can come after me in the flesh. I don't care because my salvation is secure
in the Lord.
Period. And so I go ahead.
Go ahead. It's okay. I was listening to you.
Yeah. So you can walk the rest of your life like a lock. You know, picture yourself like a lock. You've seen a lock connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, can't nobody pull it apart and this, that, and the other. Like you locked in. That's how you are with the Lord. Through the duration of your physical living, be locked in with God.
Locked in.
I mean, locked in. I don't care. They can come and try to break. It can't be penetrated.
Amen.
This is an like your faith is an impenetrable force. When it's down to when you know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt. I used to hear the old folks say shadow of a doubt. I ain't understand that years ago. You know, like, but now I do. I realize how much significant a shadow is.
All right. That's it.
You know what I mean? That's it. When you look at the significance of a shadow and you put it on the level of a doubt, I don't have a shadow of a doubt because a shadow doesn't move me. And so doubts won't move me. So I don't care what the devil says. It will not move me.
Amen.
I'm standing on the word of God. I'm doing some hard preaching this year. I'm pretty sure. I mean, Tanisha hear it every day. Like, I mean, for real. Like it's some hard preaching this year, because we're in that time.
Mm-hmm.
We're in that time to where we gotta fight, and when it's time to fight, you gotta throw them hands. You know,
you got to.
I don't care if you've never been in one. You don't know how you'll perform till you get in the game.
That's it.
But then the thing about the game that we're in,
mm-hmm.
our steps are already ordered. So think about this. Think about this. You played video games before, right? And so
right. Yes,
you're controlling the man or the object, whatever it is. You're controlling it with the controller. You
mm-hmm.
just gotta have a life to compete. And so that's what God is. He's looking for somebody to jump in the game.
That's it.
Somebody that's ready to surrender to his will, and he's going to control you. And he never loses.
Never.
Think about you being controlled by someone that never loses.
Never loses.
That can't lose. Hold on. Let's take it a step further. That cannot lose.
He cannot lose.
Oh, oh my goodness. You know the track record says he hasn't lost, but the truth says he cannot lose.
He cannot lose. He cannot lose.
Yes, it's a fact that God hasn't lost. But what's the truth about this? He can't lose.
He cannot lose.
That's the truth. And so
that's
when we seek the truth will make you free.
Yeah.
And so mm. I see God freeing you up. I see him freeing you up. This is there. Be free. Mm-hmm. Be free to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Be free to trust.
Yes.
Be free to live. Be free to walk in dominion.
Hallelujah.
Because that authority has been given to you by God.
I believe it. I receive it.
Period.
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 Yeah, I receive it. I receive
and,
it.
And that's what he wants for all of us. All of us.
Who partake.
Everybody
yes.
is waiting tonight, babe. I don't even know who else is in the queue, but that's the word. For the multitude.
For the multitude. That's right. For all of
that's
us to partake in
that.
Because he's
trust
a
God.
Mother to the motherless, a father to the fatherless, a lawyer in the courtroom,
yes.
and a doctor in the sick room. He's all of that, and he's paid in full. So
yes.
we are.
He's whatever you need. You know, if you get a little cough, consult the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I'm coughing. What should I do? You know, normally the world will teach, man, as soon as you get a cough, hey, go to the pharmacy, get this. As soon as you get a cough, click online, go to this. Call this number. But the Lord wants to be first.
That's
when you
right.
get a cough, you better be coughing
right.
to the Lord. You hear me? God, what I need to do? And he'll
that's
guide
right.
you to the resources that he has set aside for you.
Mm.
And that's
amen.
Personal. Because he's a personal God. He's a personal Savior.
Mm.
He's personal.
He's personal.
And
he's
when
a
it comes, when it comes down, yes, think about how you treat people that you deal with personally. You tell them things you ain't tell nobody else. You treat them differently than you treat everybody else. We do that naturally. We do that naturally. We got people in different areas of our life. It's certain things you talk about. You can talk about things with certain people based on your being in tune with the Holy Spirit. He'll let you know how far to go.
That's it.
But God still loves them too.
He loves them.
And so he'll allow you to have a relationship, because it's all about you knowing where somebody is in order to navigate them to where you are.
Mm.
You know, most of us in the religious sector and this, that, and other, we always be wanting to tell people where they at. And you really don't know where they at. You think you know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could be in Texas. You know how big Texas is? Me saying you in Texas still doesn't pinpoint my location. Mm-hmm. Am I in Aubrey? Am I in Dallas? Am I in San Antonio? Am I in Austin? I'm in Texas. But you need mm-hmm. to pinpoint my location. Because wherever I am determines how I get to you. Because it may take me 4 hours to get from where I am in Austin to get to where you are. It may take me 6 hours to get from Dallas from where I am to where you are. It may take me 8 hours to get from Fort Worth to where from where I am to where you are. You got to know where I am.
That's it.
That's truly being a disciple for Christ.
That's it. that's a mouthful. That's it. That's being a disciple for Christ.
You gotta ask yourself, okay, is it really about me?
Mm-mm.
What am I giving my life for? Why am I taking things so personal? Why am I allowing people to just really agitate me and make me feel a certain way about things and this, that, and other? Why? Because we're all born into sin and shaping in iniquity. So
that's
we're all
right.
Battling with something. So ain't none of us better than anybody.
No. None of us.
Christ is the Redeemer. It's because of him we able to pray and ask God for anything.
That's it. It's all because of him.
So we need to get the order right.
Mhm.
Once we get the order right, then we really know how to flow, and it's really understanding how to really flow in the will of God. And I really see that like bursting like 4th of July fireworks in your life this year. And in the life of anybody that receives that tonight, period.
Yes, all of us.
That's all. Mm. That's all I got, Sarah. Babe, I didn't mean to go over. I'm sorry.
It's okay. you did as you were late.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's paid in full. Jesus
Amen.
Paid it all for
yeah.
us walking in freedom. to walk in the freedom of Him. We're not bound by the adversary saying we're set free and we're loose by Jesus, because He paid it all
right.
So we could be free to walk in Him.
Right. That it doesn't mean that the adversary won't continue doing what he does.
The body,
just got to know how to. Right, you just got to know how to deal with him. If you literally don't know the game, how to play the game, you lose.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's it.
That's true.
That's it. The Lord has already written and has given us keys and everything on how to combat Satan. Period.
And
he's already defeated.
He's already defeated.
Already.
In the Bible are the basic, it's the instructions before leaving earth.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Bible.
Yeah. That's it. You know, most people don't know how to work stuff. It's because they ain't read the instructions. They don't even know how to use features that's on stuff that could really make the process easier. But all they got to do is read the instructions. It's right there.
Mm.
But instead, you pressing buttons. Man, what's wrong with this thing? Ain't nothing wrong with that thing. The thing programmed to work a certain way. You ain't working it the way it's programmed to work. Read the instructions. And that's with us. God has given us instructions, like you said, to know how we're supposed to move here in the earth, period. It's just that simple. It is not hard. I don't give a doggone what the devil tells you. It is not hard. It's simple. It's a decision. It's timing.
That's it. That's it. It's not hard.
Man,
No,
it's not hard.
It's like
it's whatever.
They went through
literally
in the Bible, but they went. Go ahead.
What'd you say?
It's like people went through in the Bible, like different situations, different type of, you know, shenanigans, whatever you want to call it. But the Lord knew that was going to happen. He knows the beginning from the end. So He gave us the word so that we will be able to refer back to it. So we
right.
He's like, we're in this situation. Okay. Well, turn to Isaiah, turn to Psalms. Okay, you know, see
right.
how, you know, He gave us all of that, and that's wonderful.
Right.
The instructions.
Right. Me and Sinise was sharing last night about, like, God is the God of the living, and He still speaks. And the written word confirms the spoken word. You know, because the prophets, you know, you listening to a prophetic word when you come here to PGN, and that's a spoken word of God. And you go to the Bible, the written word, it'll confirm it.
Mm.
It'll confirm things. You know, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. It'll teach you all things.
Amen.
And whatever you're seeking, you'll find. And that's the written word. So all of that is like confirmation. All we got to do is do it, and we'll see the results. But if we don't know what to do, we're not going to get those results. If you're not doing the things that are required to get certain results, it's not going to happen. Period. So we have to break the habit of thinking that things are going to happen without us doing the part that we're supposed to do on our end. You know, and first things first, and the most important thing that I believe is to believe. A lot of us will say we believe something. It's easy to say that, but we got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do that. But that's all. I know we got to go. So that's all I could do. We got to let Randy get on.
Let people call back in because it's 844. I know it's a different phone number they call to, but it's still the same studio. So we're going to go ahead and clear the line and let everybody call back in to hear what Randy's got to say, or what the Lord has to say through Randy tonight.
Yes. Amen. Appreciate it. Thank you all for calling in.
Thank you, Sarah, for calling in. We know you got what you needed. The Lord really just gave you some extra love and just, you know, poured into you tonight what you needed.
Yes, I'm excited, you know, and I appreciate the Lord, and he's there. He's loving. He's caring for all of us here at PGN and everywhere. I appreciate that, really.
Amen. All right, I'm going to clear it off. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.